Cocaine in the White House. Like I said, before I went on vacation, gosh, can't take a couple days off because all kinds of things start going down. Well, this one now is especially interesting because we have breaking news for you. Guess what? The Secret Service says nothing to see here. Don't worry about that cocaine. No way that we can trace it or track it. So, hey, we're just going to forget about it. You can imagine that's not going over well with some Republicans really getting angry, accusing the administration of yet another cover-up. We're going to get to that, plus a few other things to talk about, including that Miss Universe competition, where not everybody's really totally, authentically or originally a Miss. And then we have, the FTC, which is like the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, on steroids. Going after Twitter hard. Twitter's like, this is outrageous. They just got shot down, the FTC. This would be Lina Khan in the Biden administration. Just got shut down recently over that whole Microsoft Activision deal. And, they're firing back. They say they're going to appeal. Welcome to the show, everyone. Good to have you here. Live edition of the program today, right here. This is the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. We're brought to you in part by Legacy Precious Metals. Go check them out at legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. Okay, getting here to the news of the moment, breaking right now, the Biden administration's getting a get out of jail free card here with Hunter. Oh, oops, didn't mean that. Didn't mean to even imply that. I don't know how that, I don't know how it came into my head. I just don't know how. But somebody at the White House, not trying to name names here, somebody at the White House had some illegal drugs in the, I don't know how that happens. I've been in the White House many times and they've got kind of a strict procedure about who can get in and how you get in and all the security clearances. And they've got like bomb sniffing dogs and drug sniffing dogs and lots of x-ray machines, et cetera. So somehow, some way, somebody got some cocaine into the White House. And so we're lucky we heard about it. It's actually kind of amazing because, they try to kind of shove these things under the rug, so to speak. And it seems as though that's exactly what's going on right now. So the Secret Service allegedly can't seem to figure out how this really could belong to anyone because apparently there were no fingerprints on the bag. I mean, again, a little bit weird. There have been some suggestions. Maybe it was from a construction crew. Here's what I'm going to say. If people are smuggling drugs into the White House and no one within the security apparatus there at the White House knows anything about it, and then can't seem to figure out anything after the fact when they're going back and looking at the tapes, the videotapes, when they're going back and looking at the logs of who was there, and when they're trying to examine the bag for fingerprints and can't find any, I think you get kind of a little bit of, just a little bit of a problem. And I think we ought to have better security. And so, as you can imagine, Republicans are going nuts. Let me quote something from Lauren Boebert, the Colorado GOP representative, who said, quote, "This is the third time that drugs have been found on the White House property since 2022, and we did not even hear about the marijuana." Now, you got to go to Bill de Blasio's office, former office in New York City, I guess, for that. "I certainly did," quote, she said, "not hear about the marijuana that was found in 2022 two times, and now there's cocaine on the property. So everything they do is to move along to the next story. They know there will be another Biden crime crisis." She's referring, of course, to what everybody's been talking about and these allegations that somehow there was money that may not have been. Again, these are just allegations, but we have heard various reports about funding that was being funneled through the Biden family somehow via China, the other places. I mean, don't forget, it is a little suspicious that Hunter Biden, who had no experience whatsoever, no experience, guys, in anything within the energy sector, got that really plum gig, like worth a whole lot of money, some $60K or something a month, over in Ukraine at Burisma. Then there's like other allegations that are pretty serious about China. So that actually needs to be addressed. But yeah, according to NBC News, apparently marijuana was found by on the White House premises, allegedly was possessed by a couple of guests there were at the White House. So they reported that the uniformed division officers had previously found marijuana possessed by two White House guests. The marijuana was reportedly in quantities that are under Washington, D.C.'s legal limit, and the visitors were instructed not to bring it back to the White House. Don't you do that. Not happening. Not here. So then they what, escalated to cocaine? I mean, this is not good. This is really and truly not good. And you know, we don't know. We don't know if any of this is connected to Hunter, of course. I want to make that very, very clear, just so nobody accuses me of insinuating anything. We don't know. But we do know that he's had some problems, shall we say, just a few, in the past. And that's been well documented and even admitted to by both Hunter Biden and his father, Joe Biden. So we know that he has that history. And we know that he went to the state dinner for India, like the day after he reached his little plea deal, where he got off with just a little slap on the wrist for tax evasion. I mean, guys, like, have some sense of decorum. And look, like, I'm a parent, I know, like, that's hard for Joe Biden, I'm sure. It really must be awful when your son is such a screw-up. I'm sure that's awful. I'm sure it hurts him. But you know what? Like, at some point, this is bigger than you and your son. You're talking about the country. You're talking about the White House. You're talking about the reputation of the United States of America. And it's like one thing after another. You know, he's overseas right now. Can't even make it to a dinner there. Maybe he should have invited Hunter to go to that dinner instead. It's good to see you all, by the way. I just want to point out, this is a live program. So I'm looking here. We have so many of you tuning in. I see so many familiar faces, which is really, really wonderful. And of course, I see all of your comments, all your reactions. I appreciate that. I encourage you to also comment in the section below. So not just right here, which of course is great because we're having this live chat, but you can comment in the section below. That every little bit helps. You single-handedly have helped push us above 80,000 now in terms of subs, and that's happened like in the last 90 days. So I love you for that. I appreciate you for that. And it's really important that we do whatever we can to really get opinion out there, truth out there, and encourage the values of freedom. Because as I look at everything that's happening, and I'm going to get to some of the FTC stuff, when I look at what's happened within the media sector just in the last couple of years, I'll tell you this, I'm really glad I am independent, I am on my own, and that there's nobody telling me what I can say or what I can do. But again, the onus is on all of us here, so I appreciate you subscribing to the channel. If you haven't done that, please do that on YouTube. You can also subscribe to my Facebook page as well, at Real Trish Regan. And while I'm at it, you know what I'm going to do? Hey, William Cortis, good to see you again. Stevie Weston, all good to see you. Alberto, good to see you. I am just going to put right here my website. You can go to it later on if you would like. TrishReganShow.com. And I encourage you, if you haven't signed up for my email list, my free newsletter, I'd love for you to do it right there. And of course, I'll give you all the information on the podcast, et cetera. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, thank you for being there. Keep listening. Maybe leave a review. Maybe give 5 stars. And come and join us over at YouTube or join us on Facebook. Because again, we have a live platform here. Trap, good to see you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I really do. Anyway, this cocaine situation, as I would just say, it's pretty appalling. This is an illegal substance. And somehow our Secret Service can't even manage to pull the fingerprints off the bag. Somehow our Secret Service can't manage to reconcile the logs of who came into the White House that day. Somehow the cameras, what, they don't work anymore? I mean, is this like the pay-to-play thing that everybody's been talking about that's been alleged and there have been so many reports on tied to the Hunter Biden laptop, yet somehow he gets off with just a slap on the wrist. Again, I'm not insinuating this was his. I mean, he could have had his buddies over, right? Or somebody else. You know, the construction crews were mentioned. Why are they picking on construction crews? That was one of the things that was floated by the Dems. I'm telling you, where there's smoke, there's fire. And we ought to be asking questions about this. We ought to be getting to the bottom of this. We ought to know whose it is. And in the meantime, if I were Joe Biden, I'd kind of, you know, shut down the whole let's have an Hunter hang out at the White House thing, especially at state dinners, when he's being accused of such inappropriate stuff, as he has been accused. So much of all of this is appearances, right? Like the perception of this pay-to-play thing, whether or not it happened, the perception itself is a big enough deal. It's a big enough deal that he should have known not to have taken the job at Burisma. He should have known not to have been, you know, doing the Rosemont thing with China. You remember that text, right? You remember that text where Hunter Biden is kind of like acting like a mafioso, saying, hey, like, pay up or else, because I'm sitting here with the big guy. He didn't say the big guy. He said, I'm sitting here with my father at my father's house. I mean, how incredibly threatening. And the guy he was talking to over in China was actually a business associate of the guy who runs the intel for all of China at the time. So again, I don't know what I don't know, nor do you. And by the way, nor does, well, maybe they do. I was going to say our deep state government, but this ought to come out. We ought to have some answers here. I think it's owed to the American public. And yet they just kind of think that, you know, you get a pass, like, somehow. I agree with you. You know, so many of you saying, like, it feels like a pass. If nothing else, give us the satisfaction of actually conducting a real investigation. That is something that we deserve as Americans. It is appalling. It is appalling that they're trying to sweep this one under the rug. And believe me, I know there'll be another scandal tomorrow. How can there not be? I mean, every day it's something else. But this is of concern, and I think that we need to set a precedent here. You know, when I was earlier in my career, I remember doing a lot of reporting down in Latin America, and I was in Paraguay at one point, and I was talking to someone there in Paraguay about the government and the corruption, right, within the government. And one of the points that she made to me was everybody wants to work in government. Like, here you don't really want to work in government, right, because it doesn't really pay anything. Well, unless you can somehow, and this is wild, trade off of the inside knowledge that you get in government, trade stocks in your brokerage account, which it's incredible that they have not fixed that. So I guess you could do that here as an American politician, or perhaps you could do other things like the Clinton Foundation or the Joe Biden think tank at UPenn, and somehow along the way, you know, get your family members involved too. Again, not I'm going to just point this out. When the whole Trump dossier thing came out, I was really struck by how willing, ready, and able the mainstream media was to completely just assume everything was true. I mean, I read the thing. It read like a piece of who knows what, right, that belongs in the National Enquirer or Star Magazine. So to me, it struck me as sort of sensational opposition research, not something that would ever be presented to an intelligence community. And as a result of that, I questioned it. This, I'm like, okay, I come in every day and I try and be as unbiased as possible, and I have my sort of gut reaction to things. But this one, I'm like, wait a second. Like, there was that laptop, which we believed to contain a lot of concerning information. Anytime we reported on that, however, as we went into the 2020 race, we, meaning journalists, whether independent journalists like myself or big organizations like the New York Post, which was once owned by Alexander Hamilton, you were penalized for that. So what are we as Americans to think when the apparatus there in Washington, D.C. decided to come down on anybody who was at the time actually reporting the truth, which was that Hunter Biden was the subject of an FBI investigation? It's like they lie straight to our face, and then they get all their cronies there that used to work in intel, and then they get them to put a letter together, all 51 of these deep state spies, saying, oh, it's just misinformation. That's all that Hunter Biden laptop story is. And then it turns out, huh, what do you know? It was all true. And Hunter knew it was true, and Joe Biden knew it was true, and a bunch of those people, I bet you, knew it was true. And yet they chose to lie to us anyway. You think about Fauci going on to 60 Minutes with Dr. LaPook and telling us that masks were not going to help you one single bit during the whole March 2020 ordeal. And yet, what did we learn? Oh, or they wanted us to learn, they can help you a ton. And guess what? Not only do you need to wear one, but you really should wear two. So guys, like, just come clean from the beginning. You're going to save yourself a lot of headache. And I'm sorry, but yes, information travels fast. We are living in a very global world with lots of information available to all us. But when you try to shutter things, when you try to actually say, oh, not true, not true, not true, and then you invoke penalties, which sometimes make us feel a little bit more like North Korea than the United States of America, thereby infringing on all of our freedoms. Well, guess what? We're going to start doubting you. So when you tell me that there were no fingerprints on that bag of cocaine, and you tell me that there's no way you can add up or reconcile the logs or the cameras or anything else, and you're closing the case, shut down, it is natural that I would ask questions. Just as a journalist, it is natural that every American should be asking questions, and it is natural that the Republicans are going to use this again as another political opportunity. Why wouldn't you? By the way, like, if I were a Democrat, I would want to know. And why won't the Democrats say anything? Oh, because somehow you shouldn't pick on poor Hunter. Poor little Hunter. Who's older than me, by the way, and I think of him as this, like, little kid. They want you to think of him as a little kid. Like, it's so mean to go after Hunter. No. It's called fair game. His father is the president of the United States of America. I mean, think about what they put the Trump kids through, right? Just think about that for 2 seconds. Those kids actually had real careers where they were actually running real businesses long before they ever showed up at the White House and attended any state dinners. I mean, my gosh. Anyway, again, I just want to go out to everybody and thank you for being here. Quickly, I want to also thank our sponsor here on today's program, Legacy Precious Metals. You know, I talk about inflation a whole lot. I'm very worried about it. We did get somewhat encouraging news, but you got to take everything with a grain of salt only because we're still up, right? So even if you're up 4%, that's up over what you were last year, which was, I don't know, in the ballpark. I don't have the exact numbers, forgive me, at my fingertips, but probably around 7%. So all of this is like kind of cumulative, right? Like we've just been up, we've been up, we've been up. I'm astonished by prices. But even if you don't think inflation is going to be the issue, what happens? What happens if and when the Fed has to reset? They've already told us they're definitely going to reset interest rates twice, they expect to do this year. So as we go further and further into the rest of the year, come fall, going into winter, you can expect that the Federal Reserve will want to raise. Well, if they raise rates, what happens to all those bank balance sheets? It's a real concern. And so, look, I'm not giving you investment advice, just full disclosure, but I do think it's important to have a diversified portfolio. I personally do have gold in my portfolio. I have a certain allocation. I just think it's a smart way to operate. But you do you. And if you're interested in this, I would recommend these guys. Very good friends of mine. They have been a sponsor from the very beginning on this show, legacypminvestments.com. Give them a ring. You can also just buy and sell gold right there on their account. So check it out. Back to Mr. Biden, back to this administration, back to their desire to really just clamp down on us with everything, right? I mean, it's really just appalling what these guys have done and what they continue to do. I want to point to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. You know, I've given Lina Khan, who runs the FTC, a little bit of a pass because I think she's interesting in some of her angles that she's come at the concern about the business world. And, you know, this is my whole background in business. And one of the things I've said forever is that Amazon feels like really, really big and really, really mighty. And that should be looked at in different ways. She has done so. However, in this particular case, Lina Khan is actually striking out like over and over again. Take a look at the Microsoft Activision Blizzard deal. That is not going through. It's not going through because, well, they're saying there is no real antitrust concern there. But Lena's going back for more because, you know, she's part of the Biden team. And she's now saying that she is going to appeal that decision by the judge. I'm amazed they're actually trying to work within the court system. What do you know? Ah, you know, because they don't really like the court system and they want to be able to do whatever they want to do. Twitter, meanwhile, this is interesting. Elon Musk is saying that they got to be reined in. Like this Biden administration and this FTC are out of control, out of control. And so Twitter is asking a court, they did so today, to stop a FTC order concerning the social media platform's privacy and security practices. And they're citing allegations that an independent auditor felt pressured. Imagine that, feeling pressure by the Biden administration, this federal agency, to dig up any kind of negative information they could on Twitter. If you'll recall, Twitter's dealing with the FTC saying, hey, we don't think you can properly protect the security of your users because, you know, so many employees have left and Elon Musk is in charge. Let's be honest. That's what it's really about. And so as a result of that, they're going in and saying, all right, we want to be able to go after you in this way. And it's a pretty significant way that they're going after them, because I think if the Biden administration gets its way, it would totally shut Twitter down. That's what they want to do. I guess, you know, everybody goes to Threads, which, by the way, I just joined. It's not bad. it is kind of a copycat, if you would, of Twitter. And I imagine, and I think we've already seen evidence of this within conservative circles, I imagine there is going to be a little bit of an overlay there that makes it more complicated for all of us to get the message out. Again, please subscribe, and hit the bell. If you hit the bell, then you know when I'm here live and we can all connect. So so many of you weighing in on this, talking about Elon, talking about Fox even. That's very, very interesting. Fox News, I think the quote was Fox lost me. I've seen a lot of you sort of say things to that effect. They've lost you and they've lost me. And they've lost Tucker and they've lost a whole lot of other people. So they're dealing with their own situation, shall we say, over there. And they continue to be challenged, certainly on the ratings front. Anyway, I'm most worried here about all of our freedoms and the protection of our freedoms, because it is so easy. And you think about technology today and ChatGPT-4, and we're eventually getting to ChatGPT-1000, I'm sure. And with all of these layers and steps, if you don't have a government that is concerned enough about our freedoms along the way, then it can be really problematic. I also think that there's the pure reality that so many of these people don't even understand it. You know, I mean, like, look at the average age over there in Congress. People are kind of up there. They're not here on YouTube. They're not on Twitter. They're not on, maybe they're on Facebook. Sorry. So as a result of that, they are not tech savvy enough to even be able to anticipate what's coming. They have teams doing a lot of it for them. And so I don't think that they're paying the proper attention. Don't forget as well, like, there's an instinct there that I think kicks in, because if it's working for them, right? If it's working for them, then they're like, great. I'm fine with any of these companies. It's until it doesn't work for them that you really run into trouble. And so that's, again, another one of the big issues there. But anyway, I just want to say, hey, it's great to see you all. I love having you here. Love seeing the interaction. Love seeing so many familiar faces. And by the way, a whole lot of new ones as well, both on Facebook and on YouTube. I think being able to connect in a live way is really sort of a game changer. Certainly for me, I like it better than the traditional prompter reading. And it's a delight. I mean that when I say that I've gotten to know so many of you. David, good to see you back here. Abel as well. And Jake, who wants to know how my dog is. And my dog is doing great. My dog is doing great. I will post a picture, Jake, very soon on Instagram. He was just up with me in New Hampshire. He loved it. He got a little vacation too over the 4th of July. That would be my dog Fluffy, who's just a sweetheart. And he's a he, even though sometimes people kind of think he's a she because, you know, he's kind of cute and soft and white and, you know, the Maltese. But anyway, Fluffy is just a wonderful, wonderful dog. There's a lot of that confusion on he, she things going on. I want to point out, let me see if I can show you where shares of Disney, by the way, closed the day. Disney's CEO, Bob Iger, really facing a serious uphill battle. Now, he's better than the other Bob Chapek, because I think he's a little bit more of a realist, perhaps maybe more of a leader in terms of being able to navigate these really treacherous waters. But the problem with Disney, the problem with Target, the problem with all of these, Bud Light, of course, comes to mind, all of these companies, is that they're sort of trying to pay homage to the woke police. And when you do that, you risk alienating your core consumer. So as a result, you've seen that the theme parks are not seeing much in the way of attendance for Disney. You're seeing that these movies are just bombing, right? They just had one recently that was like the worst in 30 years. So Disney shares, they are up 0.3% at the close of trading, but trading down right now in after hours. Look, I mean, the company is in fact quite challenged, and I think that they're better off having Iger there than Chapek, but nonetheless, he's got something he's got to really fix, and he's got to try and navigate and steer through. And I think it's getting increasingly complicated. It's one of the reasons why Larry Fink just recently said, hey, you know what? You know, maybe we shouldn't be so focused on ESG. He actually admitted that, guys. This is the guy who runs BlackRock, and he didn't anticipate, right, the backlash. I mean, I could have told him it was coming. Like, it's a very nice thing to think about. Oh, let's all like join hands and be kumbaya and say, oh, wouldn't it be great if capitalist companies just did the right thing every single time for the environment, for diversity, for whatever. Except, of course, you can't forget that these companies actually have to be profitable for their shareholders, right? Their fiduciary duty is to their shareholders. Well, Larry had that all figured out over at BlackRock because he's like, well, I'm the shareholder. Right? BlackRock is the shareholder. So we are saying we don't want you in that energy business. We want you in this energy business. Exxon, only that, you know, Exxon has a traditional energy business. I mean, this was just wild and anybody could have seen this one coming. And the minute you start to hit a little bit of a pothole in the road, economically speaking, well, what happens? The bottom falls out from under with so many of these companies. And so when they're so focused on this woke agenda, just like Bud Light was, they lose their way. Like Target lost their way. And don't forget their core customer, it's moms. Moms, like, you know, who are trying to buy just a few duds for their kids, again, some school supplies and, you know, maybe a little makeup over in the makeup aisle. We're going to talk about that later. Not at this moment, but I've got to get into the Maybelline story with you because another example of one of these companies trying to appease this ESG or DEI agenda. And ultimately, I really don't think it's the right thing to do as a business. You can engage in charity activity to promote certain causes on your own. But when you're using money to promote certain ideas and cultural, social issues, you're doing so often at the expense of your shareholders because you're alienating your customers. This is the problem that Walt Disney has faced. Now, Bob Iger did do an interview with CNBC today. You know, they have the whole Sun Valley thing going on. It's like the Davos for the media industry out there. Summer camp, shall we say, amid all those gorgeous mountains out west. And one of the things that Iger pointed out was, no, you know, we're not trying to over-sexualize children or sexualize them in any way. Absolutely, positively not. But I think a lot of people would take issue with that because, well, you know, there's been cases of, well, we need to have this many people of these different sexuality and persuasions in our movies now. And that just in and of itself feels like, okay, we're going somewhere that maybe we don't really want to have a conversation with on our 3-year-old or 4-year-old because they can barely understand the Cinderella story, let alone some of these others. Anyway, again, wonderful to see you. I know Disney wants to run Florida, Stevie joining the conversation, but all right, I got to read this one out loud. Jake says, maybe it's a dude, maybe it's Maybelline. Here's the thing on that. Jake, and I'll do this in another clip, but if you look at the video of the guys on Instagram, they're not even pretending to be women. They're not even wanting to be. They identify as male and they've got beards and the whole bit, but they just want to be men wearing bright red lipstick. I'm sorry, like, women are not going to go for that, okay? Like, there's just like some certain laws of nature. And women, I mean, I'm just like, right? Like, can we, maybe this is science? Maybe this is just like instinctive. You're not going to go for the guy who's wearing the red lipstick. Anyway, great to have you here. As always, make sure you subscribe. We'll talk again tomorrow. Love seeing you guys and to be continued. Thanks so much.